Now, we are going to have a think this morning about reasons to praise God. Reasons to praise God. And we're going to look at three of them, actually. But before we do that, we're just going to have a think, what does praise mean? What does it mean to praise someone? What does it mean to praise someone? Well, simply it means this. It means to say to them, you are awesome and I think you're great. You are awesome and I think you're great. That's kind of a nice thing to say to someone, isn't it? But why should we say that to God? Why should we say that to God? A lot of people think it's a waste of time praising God. Some of my friends say to me, haven't you got anything better to do than praise God? Surely God doesn't need our praise. He's not needy like that, is he? Well, the Bible tells us that there are lots of reasons to praise God. It tells us there are lots of reasons, not just reasons that we have to praise God, but reasons when we see them, we won't be able to stop ourselves praising God because we'll see how awesome he is. And we're going to look at three of them today. And harvest time is a really great time to think about this because we remember, don't we, at harvest, all the great things that God has provided for us. So we are going to have a think right now about that. And the first reason of the three we're going to think about is this. God forgives sins. God forgives sins, or the bad things that we do. Now let me read to you Psalm 65 and verse 3 that Kirsty read for us just now. It says this. When we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions. When we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions. Now I don't know if you ever feel overwhelmed. I don't know if you ever feel weighed down or burdened. But the Bible tells us that naturally we are all like this donkey. The Bible tells us that naturally we are all so weighed down by what's going on in our life that we're up there with our legs hanging in the air, not able to do anything about it. Now, why is that? Well, I'm going to need somebody to help me show this now. So can somebody... I need any volunteer. You need to be quite strong, quite big and strong. Do you want to come up? What's your name? Poppy. Poppy, thank you for coming up. You stand here, Poppy. Now, what happens is that as we go through our lives, we pick up... In fact, why don't you stand on the top step so everyone can see you? We pick up things that get in the way and weigh us down. So these are all some things I've got, and they're going to represent the things that weigh us down. So these are some of the bad things we do. Okay, these are some of the times that we tell lies. Okay, you feeling strong? These are some of the times we're mean to our friends. And this is other bad stuff that we do that I haven't been able to think of and that we can't remember, but it's still there. Now, I think we can agree. Are you okay there, Poppy? Yeah, I think we can agree that she's a little bit overwhelmed there and that trying to go through life like that would be difficult. How would she brush her teeth? How would she write at school or type on the computer? How would she play with her friends? It's difficult to go through life when you're overwhelmed, isn't it? But here's the thing. What does the Bible say to us? Just 20 more seconds there, Poppy. Don't worry. When we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave us our transgressions. So how did that happen? Well, how it happened was that God sent his son, Jesus. Can I have another volunteer, please? Come on up. What's your name? Say again, sorry?
Philip.
Thanks for coming up, Philip. So Philip's going to represent Jesus. You stand at the top there. And what happens is Jesus came and God sent Jesus to take our sins from us. So he takes from us all the things that we've done wrong. And he takes these as well and he deals with them. And by dying in our place, he dealt with all the problems that we have. And so now Poppy can go about her life in a non-overwhelmed way, not feeling overwhelmed or burdened or weighed down. And because Jesus has done that for us, what that means is that forgiveness is possible. Forgiveness is possible for all those bad things that we've done. All we need to do is trust that Jesus has taken our sins for us, trust that he has dealt with them, and to say sorry to God. Thank you very much, both of you. You have done very, very well. I'll take those. You can go and sit down now. And what this means, this is really good news for us all. Because just as the bad things we do have a consequence, Jesus taking the bad things that we do and dealing with them on our behalf has a consequence too. And the consequence is in Psalm 65 and verse 4. Those whose sins are forgiven are called blessed. That means they're happy. It means they can keep calm and be happy. It means they no longer feel overwhelmed. And I don't know about you, but to me, that is an excellent reason to praise God. When I understand that, when I know that, I can't help but think, thank you, God, that you have taken all those things away from me and I am no longer overwhelmed. That is our first reason to praise God. We've got two more to think about a bit later. But before we get to them, we're going to say a quick prayer and then you can sit down. Let's say a prayer. Lord God, we thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you that through Jesus you have dealt with our sins, that you have taken away the bad things that we do, and we no longer have to be like that donkey, overwhelmed and flailing around. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. And we're going to have a think about the next two reasons to praise God. The first one was because he forgives our sins. And now we're going to move on to the second one, which is that God is the awesome creator. Now, God is awesome, but is he that awesome? I mean, people can be pretty awesome as well, can't they? Does anybody here like swimming? Put your hands up if you like swimming. Keep your hands up if you like swimming in the sea. Yep, quite a lot of you. I like swimming in the sea too. Let me tell you about a woman who likes swimming in the sea. She was in the news last month. Her name's Sarah Thomas. She decided to go for a swim one day and she swam to France. And she got to France and she turned around and swam back to England. And then when she got to England, she turned around and swam back to France. And then when she got to France, she turned around and swam back to England. She crossed the channel four times, and it took her more than 2 days, and she did it all in one go. Now, I think that Sarah Thomas might just be the most awesome human being on the planet at the moment. I can barely swim the length of an Olympic-sized swimming pool. She swam the channel four times in a row. That is awesome. And just in case it wasn't awesome enough, she'd only just recovered from breast cancer treatment. What an incredible lady, an awesome lady. But no matter how awesome we think Sarah Thomas is, actually, God is even more awesome. Let's just have a quick look at how awesome God is. Verse 6 of Psalm 65. God who formed the mountains by your power, having armed yourself with strength. Mountains are pretty impressive, aren't they? If you think about how wonderful those mountains look, how impressively sculpted they are. I mean, sure, if we had a little bit of sand and some water, we could probably produce some sort of mound on our own. But God created the mountains, and he did it just by speaking, and he did it on an epic scale. You could have all the sand in the world and the rest of your life, and you wouldn't be able to build a mountain that looks like that. What about this? Has anybody ever tried to tell the sea to be quiet? And I never thought, I wonder if I could do that. One or two of us, yeah. So King Canute famously did that, didn't he? Do you think if we went down to the beach after this and all like shouted together in one voice, "Be still," do you think the sea would be still? Not so much. What about if the sea looked like that? Do you think it'd be easier if it looked like that? Yeah. Yeah, I think, well, it wouldn't be any more difficult, would it? We just can't do it. You cannot tell the sea to be quiet. You cannot make it be quiet. It does what it wants. But God, verse 7, he is the one who stilled the roaring of the seas. Now that is awesome. And here's the thing, all over the world there is evidence of how awesome God is. If you go to somewhere like Northern Ireland and you see the Giant's Causeway, that is awesome. If you go to North America and see Niagara Falls or the Grand Canyon, that is awesome. If you go to Antarctica and see the snowfields there, that is awesome. God is awesome, and all over the world is evidence of how awesome he is, because he made it. And all those things point to God and tell us that he is the awesome creator. And all over the world, people look at those things and they say, God, you are awesome. We get a glimpse of that in verse 8 in Psalm 65. The whole earth is filled with awe at your wonder. When morning dawns, where evening fades, you call forth songs of joy. The sun never sets on God's glory and his wonder and on the evidence of his amazing works. And that's just something to think about. Sometimes when we're outside, perhaps when you're on the South Downs and you're looking out to sea, you think, goodness, this is a nice place. This is wonderful. Maybe next time you're there, you could say, thank you, God, for making such a wonderful place to live. Next time you see the waves crash on the beach and you think, that's impressive, why not praise God for that? God is the awesome creator of the world, and we can praise him for that. That's our second reason. But there's still one more reason to go in this psalm. Let me tell you about this final reason. And it's that God cares abundantly. God cares abundantly. Does anybody like stories here? One or two? I like stories. Let me tell you a story. This young boy here is called Matthew Flores, and he lives in a small town in Utah. Utah is a place almost exactly in the middle of the United States of America. And the man next to him, the man grinning like a baboon, is his postman, and he's a man called Ron Lynch. And I'll tell you why they're both smiling in a moment. The thing you need to know about these two is that one day when Ron Lynch was doing his post round, and you know how in America they don't really have letterboxes, do they, in their front doors? They have these mailboxes at the end of their driveway. So the postman doesn't come to your door, he comes to the end of your driveway, and there's a little box, and he sticks the letter in and pulls the flag up. That's what happens in America. So one day, postman Ron Lynch was doing his round, and he drove up and he got to the end of this driveway, and he was going to put the mail in. But unusually, Matthew Flores was standing by the mailbox. So Ron Lynch said, hey little guy, what can I do for you? Why are you standing by the mailbox? And Matthew Flores said, have you got any takeaway menus? Or have you got any classified adverts or leaflets or a Friday ad or something? And Ron Lynch said, well, I might have a couple in the truck. Why do you want these things? And he said, well, sir, I really like reading. And the thing is, we've only got one or two books in our house, and I've read them. And we can't afford any more books. And I can't afford the bus ticket to the library. Do any of you young guys like reading? Yeah. Can you imagine what it would be like not to have any books? And you couldn't get hold of any of them. Well, Matthew Flores didn't have any books, and so he asked the postman, have you literally got any words about anything written on anything, even takeaway menus? I will read them. And Ron Lynch was very affected by this. He said, oh, I'm not quite sure what to do about this. So he went home that night, and he went on Facebook, and he said, hey guys, all my Facebook friends, there's this boy on my round, and he hasn't got any books. Has anybody got any books that they don't need anymore that they could share with this young boy? And he thought that maybe a handful of his friends would send a book, and a handful of his friends did send a book. But then something happened. It went viral. Do you know what that means? You know, it went around the world, and so books started flooding in. Books flooded in from all over Utah, from all over the United States. Books flooded in from Europe. They came from the UK, from Germany. I think the furthest they came from was India. And hundreds of books came, and the postman delivered them to Matthew Flores, and he had more books than he could possibly hope to read. You see, Matthew Flores just asked for a few takeaway menus. He thought that was all he could get his hands on. But in the end, he ended up with hundreds and hundreds of books. And that is a real picture of what God does for us. You see, whatever we ask God for, whatever we think we can ask God for, God can give us much more. We ask God for our food each day, and he provides us with a world which can provide more food than we could possibly do anything with. That story is a picture of how generous God is. He is wonderfully, wonderfully generous. Have a look down at Psalm 65 and verse 9. You care for the land and you water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with corn. For you have so you have ordained it. You drench its furrows and level its ridges, etc., etc. God is generous. He pours out all this water on the land. Listen to the language. Caring for the land, watering it, enriching it abundantly, filling it with water. This is not a God of half measures. This is a God who provides more than we could possibly need. Let me give you a picture of that. I need a volunteer to help me out with this one. A volunteer who's probably prepared to remove their shoes and socks. At the back there. Yep. Can you come up? Can you wiggle your way out there? Thanks. What's your name? Sky. Thanks, Sky. Right. If you don't want to get your shoes wet, then perhaps better take them off. And your socks. Yeah. And what we're going to do is, I'm going to give you this cup here and give you a picture of how generous God is towards this world and towards his people. So do you want to stand in there? Okay, so imagine that we've asked for a drink. And God says, okay, I will provide you with all that you need for your drink. So here we go, and keeps going. There we go. And then, as if that's not enough, you might want to hold it a little bit lower down. There we go. A little bit more as well. Very good. Thank you very much. And thank you for getting wet in the service of an illustration. Thank you very much, Sky. A round of applause. That is a picture of how abundantly God provides for us, more than we could possibly ever want or need. You only have to look at some of the harvest displays around us that we've seen, or in the world around us, see how much food there is. You will hear of famines and shortages of food in the world. That's not because there's not enough food. There's enough food to feed everyone on the world many times earlier. It's just bad management. You look at all the colours and beautiful different ways that we have things that we have to eat. God could have made everything brown for us to eat. Couldn't he? He could have made everything brown. But if you look at the back in the displays, there's a whole variety of colours. He is wonderful and abundant and generous. Or you might think of it this way. Who likes ice cream? Yeah, just a few people. Not that many here. Most grown-ups don't seem to like ice cream. But the kids do. Imagine you went in and asked for an ice cream, and instead of what you're expecting, you got this. This is by repute the world's greatest ice cream sundae. It includes the following ingredients. 80 scoop, it comes from a place in Denver. It would, wouldn't it? Come from America. But it is a real thing. It's 80 scoops of ice cream, 80. It's a whole can of whipped cream. It's a packet of M&Ms, a packet of Oreos, a packet of nuts, a packet of caramels, a whole bottle of chocolate sauce, a whole pack of marshmallows, a whole pack of those horrible American Lucky Charm marshmallows, and several packs of full-sized chocolate bars and assorted other things. That, again, is a picture of how generous God is for us. And let me tell you why. Psalm 65 and verse 13. The meadows are covered with flocks, and the valleys are mantled with corn. They shout for joy and sing. The picture of the world that the Bible describes, of one that is full of abundant goodness and more than we could ever possibly need. reasons to praise God, because he is an abundant and generous God. He's not a God of half measures. He's not a God of just enough. Have you ever eaten just enough and you still feel like you could probably squeeze in a little bit more afterwards? Yeah, that's not what God's like. God is a God who provides more than we could possibly need for those who turn to him. Now, just as we wrap up, I just want to just flag up one mistake that people sometimes make about this. And that is, the thing to remember when it comes to praising God is that really we praise God for who he is, not what he's done. Let me give you an example. Who's been to a restaurant recently? Anyone been to a restaurant recently? I haven't been for months to a restaurant. I'd love to go to one again. In a restaurant, the waiter brings your food, doesn't he? Or she. And so you're sitting there, and the waiter or waitress comes and brings your food. And you turn to them, and you smile, and you say thank you. And then you forget completely about them. You go back to eating your food, and you go back to talking to your family and enjoying your meal. You thank the waiter for what they've done, but then you move on. They've done what they needed to do. And that's the mistake we sometimes make with God. We say, thank you, God, that you have forgiven my sins. We say, thank you, God, that you are the awesome, that you have created an awesome world. And we say, thank you, God, that you've been very generous and abundant to us and to the world. But then we just go back to living our life how we always do, and we crack on with things as they always were, and we forget about God. But actually, the real reason to praise God isn't for what he's done, but for who he is. So God, it isn't just someone who has forgiven our sins. He is someone who forgives sins. He's not just someone who has created an awesome world. He is the awesome creator of the world who holds it together and sustains it by his powerful hand. And God isn't just someone who has been abundantly generous to us. He is generous in all that he does. And when you see God for who he is like that, you can't help but praise him, because he's a constant and ongoing part of your life. Well, those are three good reasons to praise God: because he's forgiven our sins, because he is the awesome creator, and because he is abundant and generous. And it may be that many of you here know that, and it may be that this is just a reminder for you, in which case, keep on praising God. It may be for some of you that you're just starting to realize actually who this God is. He's not some far off guy in the distance who doesn't care about you or about your life, but actually he's someone who cares deeply about you generously. He's someone who's real and is an important, he is fundamental to how the world works. And if that's you for the first time today, then that's wonderful that you've begun to realize that. And come and have a chat with me afterwards. I'd love to talk about it more with you. Of course, it may be that you're not persuaded as well, and that's okay. But it may be that you haven't ruled out who God is, and that just today there's one or two things that might have been a little bit of a challenge or a new idea for you, and that's okay. I'd love to chat to you as well afterwards. But the best thing that you could do, whichever of those situations you find yourself in, is come along and find out more. Come along and find out more about who God is, about why he is so great, more about the things I've said today. We've just had 15 minutes today. I can't possibly hope to do more than scratch the surface. Come along and find out more. And those things in our More Week that Andrew talked about, those events, particularly the Bertie Pierce event, but also the other three events that you'll have seen on the flyers and on the video, are great opportunities to come and find out more. It's not a service, it's just a guy from our congregation, Glenn, interviewing some of these guys about what their life's been like and how Jesus has made a big difference in it. They'll be wonderful evenings, and I can't recommend them highly enough. So whatever camp you fall into, come along, find out more. It would be wonderful to see you there. But for now, let's close with a prayer. Lord God, we thank you that this psalm begins to show us just who you are. It begins to show us who you are in your essence. It shows us that you are the God who forgives sins, that you are the awesome Creator, and that you are abundantly generous. Help us to see that, Lord. If we already know it, help us to see it more clearly. If we're not quite there yet, please flip that light switch and help us to see who you are, so that we may in turn praise you and praise your name. And we ask that for Jesus' sake. Amen.